If your family, or your marriage, or your money, or your parenting, or your work isn't working, there's one of four reasons. One of four reasons. And here at Intentional Living Center, we want to camp on those four things and help you experience some freedom today, some peace, and maybe resolution of whatever's going on in your life. My name, I'm Dr. Randy Carlson, founder of Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media, along with a most fantastic team in media. Here's Jennifer making sure everything works, and Steven, our producer, and our team upstairs taking your calls, and we love you guys, and we're here for you. We can focus on any of those things, but today I thought we'd sort of land on this area of parenting, talking about parenting. So I would say if something's not happening positive, if it's not going well for you, you're struggling in parenting, there's generally one of four things going on. And I'm going to share what those are right now, and then we're going to get into some calls. But I'll leave the phone line open if you want to ask a question of me today. We're live here in our studio at 888-888-1717. You know, C.S. Lewis talks about the fact that we're at a civil war within us. You know, there's this civil war going on. And the Bible talks about it that, you know, we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's not people in our relationships that are the problem, even though they can be and appear to be the problem. But if we're a Christ follower, the Bible says there's dark places and there's evil in the world. And we know Satan is an enemy and he'll attack those relationships. So there's one of four things going on in any of these areas. You can apply what I'm going to share here now to any area of your life, but specifically parenting today. You either have a level of commitment, but there's a lack of agreement. What I mean by that is you're committed to your kids, you're committed to your marriage, you're committed to your spouse, but there's a lack of agreement. You're married, you're not on the same page with your spouse. You don't agree on raising the kids. Or maybe you're divorced and the commitment is gone now. So the both are gone, both commitment and agreement, and you're struggling with it. So what do you do? Intentional Living would say, hey, listen, you have to realize that two can't walk together unless they be in agreement. And what the Bible says, so maybe you're going to agree to disagree. Maybe you're going to bend over backwards to come to some agreement on how things should work out. Or you're going to realize that I'm not going to be in agreement, but I'm still going to do what I have to do the right thing, and that my battle is not against him or her, but against the fact that we're not on the same page. In fact, I want you to hear a call. One of the calls left on my comment line, Jennifer, who I think demonstrates what happens when people who have good intentions, they're committed to each other, they love each other, but they're not on the same page, and how that can be a problem. Take a listen.
Hi, yes. I was wondering, how do you, about being a good stepmom, whenever the dad's not a good disciplinarian, and everybody tells me you just need to be her friend, and she's not getting any discipline from the dad, what do I need to do?
All right. How can you walk together in parenting if you're not on the same page? I mean, it's a ridiculous thought that you're going to have peace in the home if you can't agree on how we're going to raise the kids. And I would say if you're divorced, how in the world are you going to do a good job with those kids unless you and your spouse, and I know you can't be responsible for them, right? 3-foot rule, you only be responsible for yourself. I get it, Randy. I get it. But how are you going to do that unless you get on the same page? Well, it's a battle, and you know that. It's almost like you're feeling you're in a war of some sort of saying, I want to do a good job, but we're not in agreement. And that's why here at Intentional Living, we are just fanatical about communicating the fact that trying to get on the same page, even if you agree to disagree, but do the right thing because you're going to benefit, your kids, your marriage, your family going to benefit. Now, in Jennifer's case, Jennifer, I would say to you, what do you say? I would put the ball in his court. I'd say, honey, I love you, but we're not on the same page. And you know who's going to pay is going to be your son, your daughter, your kids. And so learning to be intentional, growing up, being mature, is a part of this process of living an intentional life in Christ. So, by the way, let's just expand that. If you got money problems in your marriage, I bet you it's right there. You love each other and committed to each other, but there's no agreement. You don't agree on how to spend the money. That's true in work. It's true in parenting. It's true in a lot of things. How can two walk together unless they be in agreement? All right, number two. By the way, phone lines open. You can join me. We're talking parenting if you want to ask a question. 888-888-1717. Number two, we're talking about commitment to agreement. This is the second one, love and respect. You know, I have been around this business of talking to people a long time, and I find people say, I love my spouse, but then as I dig a little deeper, I find out the respect isn't there. I've lost respect. Because love is something I can do. You know, I'm patient, I'm kind, I love my spouse. But he's kind of a jerk, you know? And you lose respect because of the way he be, or vice versa. She, how they behave or how, what they, you know what I'm talking about. And this is a huge problem when it comes to parenting. It can be love and respect. If you don't respect your spouse, you're not going to be in agreement. These things compound. And by the way, this is especially a big issue in marriage. You know, the Bible says to us in the book of 1 Peter that we're to respect. Peter says we're to learn to respect each other. So respect isn't sort of, I know we say it's earned, and really in many ways it is, but respect is also something we give. And boy, I'll tell you something. We need to work on being a respectable person when it comes to the things that we're talking about, parenting and marriage here today. All right, that's number two. Number three is, I'm talking about the things that I have seen in years of working with families that are kind of like the civil war going on. Either we're committed, but we don't agree. We love, but there's a lack of respect. Or we do have goals, but we're not taking any action. We're procrastinating, and this leads to mediocrity. When we don't follow through, when we don't take action, we're not gonna get anywhere. And I find in parenting, a lot of times we can be on the same page. I want to raise a responsible adult, but then we don't have a plan of action, and we don't take daily action to do that. Let me give you an example. I had a call. I want to share this call that of just a wonderful listener who's struggling on this very issue. She knows what she wants. She knows what her goal is. But then, you know, what do I do? Take a listen.
Hi, Dr. Randy. This is Shelley calling from Michigan. I had a question. Both of us parents are working, basically trying to make it all meet up in the end, paying the bills. Got a lot of pressure as a working mom. A lot of people's opinions about moms should stay home. I was wondering if you could just speak to all of us working moms that are doing the best that we can, biblical perspective of that. Appreciate it. Thanks, Randy.
All right. Thank you, Shelley. And I hear your heart. And many of you wrestle with this question or some similar question that gets really back to the goals that you have, the values you have, the things that are important to you, and then your daily action. They don't match. And by the way, that's not a commentary on should you be outside the home working or not, but you're telling me you're conflicted about it. You're conflicted. And if your goal is to say, hey, my goal is to be home, I want to be with my kids, and yet I feel like I need to be out there working to pay the bills. Listen, I don't know your finances, but whenever there's a conflict between your loving goals and your daily action, you're going to be conflicted. And what does that come down to? I don't know. It makes decisions. Maybe we're going to have a smaller home. Maybe we're going to live on a smaller budget. Maybe I'm only going to work part-time. Maybe my spouse is going to take on some extra hours. I don't know. I really don't. I mean, I understand that this can be difficult. And by the way, this is not a commentary on working women, because I know women work, and that's fine. That's good. But if you're struggling with a goal that you have in terms of what God is speaking to you about, what your priorities are at your stage in life, and you conflict with your daily actions, you know the conflict that creates for you. And then one more, and then we're going to take a break, come back, got callers coming in. We're talking parenting. Love to have you join in if you have a question. 888-888-1717. All right, number four, this is a biggie, is a battle that can occur between our identity and our personal integrity. And what I mean by that is we identify to say, I'm a follower of Christ. That's what we're here. That's what we're here. We're intentional living. Figuring out what pleases Christ and do it. And I say, hey, I'm a Christian. I hear this a lot. And come on, I struggle with this too. We all do. We identify as saying, hey, I've given my life to Christ. I'm a follower of Christ. Boy, that holds us to a different level when it comes to our personal integrity, how we choose to live. And if you're finding struggles in your life, you might say, well, maybe that's the area. I say I'm a follower of Christ, and yet there's not enough proof in the way I live to convict me. And, you know, this can happen in any area of our life, in our finances, our parenting, our marriage, our own personal lives. And so commitment without agreement, love without respect, loving shared goals without daily action, and identifying as a follower of Christ without your own personal integrity and how you choose to live are all big, giant red flags to say maybe I need to stop and think about where we are. All right, let's take a break. We'll be back. 888-888-1717. Got parenting questions? We got questions. And we'll see if we can identify and help you a little bit from our center today. Don't go away.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back. Every question we ask in life has the power to set us up or set us free. In Dr. Randy's teaching titled The Power of Questions, he unpacks the first question in the Bible and how the serpent used it to twist God's word and lead Adam and Eve astray.
God never told the woman she couldn't touch the fruit. There's already a deception that's occurring in this woman's mind, and Satan is setting her up.
With your monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that gets to listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now, and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Thank you, Kurt. Appreciate your support. Listen, we're here to do what God's called us to do, and that's just share His word and encourage people and love on you all and help you in your life as much as we can as a cheerleader on the sideline of life. And thanking you for your support, allowing us to do this. This is a big part of our Intentional Life Media. We are Intentional Life Media, which includes our podcasting, our Intentional Living program that you hear here, Family Life Radio. Our stations all around the country. We have one passion, and that's for you to experience life the way God intended, with a lot of joy and peace and freedom, and be in this community together. So we're just here to talk. All right, let's get to the calls. First to Jen. Hi, Jen. Appreciate your call today. How are you?
Hi. I'm good. You?
Good. Good. What's your question?
We have a blended family, my husband and I and his ex-wife and then their daughter that they share. My husband and I have three kids of our own. And I guess my question is, we have now lost, my husband and I are Christ followers, so we have very strict rules because we want our children to be brought up in the Word.
Mm-hmm.
And it's now caused us to lose our teenager. Mm-hmm. We just had 50-50 custody the last 16 years, and now she has chosen, because we have curfews and we have, no, you can't party. Yes, you need to work. Your grades need to be good. We're not going to let you dress, you know, half dressed to school. And then her mom is, you know, different. She's very hippie, free love. And it's caused us to lose her. And it's starting to put a strain on my husband and I, because we want our other three children to see that we don't condone the behavior, but we don't want to lose her either.
Mm-hmm. So you said three children, right?
We have three together, and then she is the oldest of the four. She shares, her dad is my husband.
All right, so you have three together with your current husband, and he had a daughter before you married.
Yes.
Okay, all right.
They've been divorced since she was two.
And she's the one that said, hey, I'm out of here, and I'm going to go live with mom because I don't like all your rules.
Yes, she said that my husband is emotionally abusive because we will not allow her to speak freely. And by speak freely, I guess I mean cussing at adults, not being respectful in the way that she talks to teachers, not putting her priorities straight.
Well, let me ask you, Jen, do you feel that, and I hear you, and by the way, I agree, families need to have values, we need to stick to them, and if the kids, you know, I understand the dynamic going on here. Do you feel that your husband has been a little harsh or hard on her?
I think that within the last year and a half, he has been harder on her because nothing's worked before.
Okay.
But never in a demeaning and neglectful way, nor really yelling.
Yeah, okay.
It's just he says what she's not allowed to do and she gets upset.
All right.
And then twists things. So, yeah.
This is not uncommon, obviously, in divorce situations and kids in two different homes. And it goes back to what I was talking about a moment ago. You have a commitment where, you know, you love your child and you're committed to each other. And yet, you know, the mother of your stepdaughter and your husband are not on the same page when it comes to agreeing on how to do that. A couple of things, just a couple observations. Every situation is different. So just observations. One is, to the extent possible, the Bible says to live at peace with everyone. And to the extent possible, and I know it's not always possible, with the ex-spouse, to be able to sit down with him and to be able to talk about, hey, we just want to raise a responsible adult. We just want to do a good job. And I know you and I are not on the same page on a lot of things, and I get that. But what are things that we can agree to, because it's in the best interest of our daughter that she have respect for me as dad and respect for you as mom, and learn that she's got to learn that there's two different families here and different values. And I know they shouldn't have to, but they do. And that's just a reality today. That'd be one thing. And secondly, I would keep the door open. Keep the door open for the relationship with the daughter. And to the extent that dad can keep that door open and loving her and caring for her, apologizing when he's wrong, being open, listen, all of those things, that's a really important thing to do. But that doesn't mean, and I hear your heart, Jen, it doesn't mean we change our values of our home. We don't say, to heck for her happy, we're going to just live a certain lifestyle, let her do whatever she wants, because that's not the way life works, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And you said she was 16, right?
She is 16, yeah.
Yeah. I think one of the messages to a 16-year-old is, honey, listen, I know, I want to hear you. How can I be a more supportive dad and stepmom? How can we support you, but understand that you're growing up too, and that we just have certain values in this home, and it breaks our heart that you don't want to be here, because we want you to be here. We want you to be a part. You are part of this family. I think she needs to know she's part of this family. You have three kids together. She's the oldest. I wonder if she feels like she's not a part of the family. I don't know. I don't know what she's feeling. But to be able to connect with her heart, hear her heart, listen to her. Because I remember Josh McDowell. I was at a conference speaking when Josh McDowell was speaking, and he made the statement that rules without a relationship create rebellion. And I thought, wow, I wrote that down, because that's pretty brilliant stuff, right? We can have rules on how we want things to work, but if we don't have a relationship, it can create rebellion in the heart of a child. A lot of people praying for you guys. You're not alone, Jen. Thank you for your call. All right, Johnny, you're next in Texas. Hi there. What's your question today?
Man, my question is, like, I just heard the parents talking. You know, I have a family. I have a niece. Well, you know, whatever happens, whatever, you know what I'm saying, I'm praying for them behind their backs, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna make sure God's on the throne in that place, you know, in that relationship, even through the mess, if I offend them through... See, for one, look, they're watching the way I live. They're watching the way I've changed my ways. Where the Lord has pulled me out of. So, my question was, man, was it okay to continue doing these things? You know, the suffering, the hurts to see our children. Even she's just my niece, but I look at her like I feel like a daughter, like a father to her. You know what I mean?
So if I hear your question, Johnny, you're kind of inserting yourself into what you see in her life, and you're wondering if that's okay. Is that basically what you're asking?
Yeah.
All right. Yes and no. Yes, in that you care enough to risk the fact that she may reject you in terms of that, and no in terms of doing it carefully, right? She's 14, has a boyfriend, you're concerned about mom, so it sounds like a family thing going on here. And again, to the extent possible, live at peace with everyone. If that were me and I had a concern for a niece, I'd make sure I kind of know where all the pieces of the puzzle are on the checkerboard in terms of if I confront here or talk here, how does that impact these people? And I would get to mom and dad and just say, hey, how can I support you guys? Love you guys. I'm concerned for my niece, just maybe as you are. If they're not, then carefully to be able to just maybe get with your niece, because it involves a boyfriend apparently, and just say, honey, I love you, and I know I'm an old guy, and I'm your uncle, and I understand that, but can I tell you something about my own life? And then you share a story from your own hurt, your own loss, your own pain, your own experience, without telling her what she should do. Because your story of your own pain is going to mean more to her than you saying, hey, don't do that. When 14-year-olds see a parent or a uncle who's just real and genuine and going through life like everybody else, it's that's real and that's better. That's intentional living. That's intentional living. You know, we were talking earlier about these things that get us into trouble. And what I hear you saying is, hey, you have a goal. Now you got to take some action. And the action is, in my view, just be honest with her and tell her about your own life. Be available. I think that's important. What are the questions in Scripture that you think of that come to mind? Who do you say that I am? Other questions. What shall I do to be saved? Other questions. Who do you say that I am?
How can a person enter a womb again?
Yeah, Nicodemus. How can a person enter the womb again and be born again? Nicodemus asking Jesus that question. And of course, Jesus responds. Think of other questions that come to mind. I think of Nehemiah. I always go to Nehemiah. His whole life was radically changed by one question. What's going on back in my homeland? That answer to that question changed his whole life. That's an excerpt from the lesson this month, The Power of Intentional Living. The questions that we ask make a big difference, really do. All right, I think I have time to talk to Beth here before we wrap up the show. We're just kind of moving slowly through these calls today because I really want to reinforce this thing of if your family just isn't working, or your marriage, your parenting, your finance, I'm convinced it really does come down to these broad categories. You have commitment without agreement. Maybe you have love without respect, or both. You have goals without daily action, or maybe you don't have either, right? Or you have an identity in Christ. You say, I'm a follower of Christ, and yet your own personal life and my personal life may not follow. And those things are underpinnings of a problem, for sure. All right, Beth, hi there. Appreciate your call today.
Hi, Dr. Randy. Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I wanted to know the best way to not over discipline, as well as I know he's been punished enough in his head for rolling his car 4 times with his friends in it and one ejected out in the desert.
This is your son?
Yes.
So your son was in a car accident with kids, rolled the car, and some of the kids were hurt, I'm assuming?
Only one kid, because she wasn't wearing her seatbelt, and this was out in the desert, just only the car. He overcorrected on the Washboard Road and rolled the car.
I'm so sorry.
So I didn't want to bring
everybody.
Any more drama. Yeah, I know.
How long ago was this, Beth?
February 2nd.
Okay,
Sunday afternoon.
All right. And so you're pretty traumatized, and your son and the families and everybody involved, right?
Right. It seems like his friends are doing good. He didn't know the other girl that went out the window. But I say, we went to the bank and I said, yeah, you know, how much do I have to pay you? I said, well, you know, like 400. Well, I really can't. Okay, well, give me 300 because you need to just realize that you're going to be at least, you know, paying me, you know, my truck insurance and skyrocket now. And, you know, but I don't want to, like, keep badgering and pounding in, you know, of anything to, you
well,
know.
Well, I'm assuming he's feeling pretty, I'm assuming he's pretty overwhelmed with this too. So there's going to be a lot of, you know, beating himself up too, I would think. In terms of, I don't know what happened. I mean, accidents happen, but sometimes just goofing off happens too, right? And you get a bunch of young people in the car and, well, we all know. We all were young one time, right? Listen, Beth, this is current. This is recent. You're facing it now. You're traumatized by it. I think there's two sides to this. I would really encourage you. One is to deal with whatever you're facing, because it sounds like you're pretty, you know, pretty overwhelmed. Are you married? Is Dad on the scene?
No, I'm divorced, and the ex barely wants to be around.
All right, so it's you're kind of facing this alone. I would go get some help for yourself, just to talk to someone, kind of process this for yourself, like you're doing here, but in greater detail with a counselor or a support group and something, because it's a, you know, big thing for you. I understand that. But as far as your son, I think there's two things. One is there's the practical side of this, which is, hey, insurance, driving the car, restrictions, putting limits in, all of these kinds of things. That's got to be done. I think that's important. And then there's the side of you love your son and you want to help him process his pain, his guilt, his feelings that he's going through. And I guess I see this, fortunately, it doesn't sound like there was a fatality, and that's fantastic. That's good. But perhaps this could be that moment in time for your son. Listen, God wants to use everything for his good, right? Maybe this could be the moment for your son to realize, I don't know where he is spiritually, but this could be a moment to say, hey, son, life is short. Do you know Christ? You want to live intentionally in him and encourage him with his emotions and his spiritual walk and all of that at this point. So kind of the hard side and the soft side in the relationship, and then take care of yourself. Got to run. We're going to leave the line open, though. I'd like to talk to you about tomorrow. Give me a call now so we can record it. 888-888-1717. I'm Dr. Randy, and we'll be back tomorrow.